Hi guys and girls, I'm really excited. I'm in Adelaide. We've just finished a seminar and we've got two great guys that are doing incredible things here in South Australia. New agency that is actually dominating. They're using a brand attraction model. They're the purple cow. They're standing out. And we've got two good looking young guys that are doing special things. We've got Alex and Nathan here.
Thanks, Tom.
So you know who they are and where they're from. Owens Cassidy Harcourts here in Adelaide. So we're going to have an informal chat. I'll start off, Alex, how long's the business been going?
So we started, I'll never forget, on the 1st of November 2011. Yeah. So if you're a numerologist, you'd love it. 1-1-1-1-1.
Wow.
So 18 months.
Was that intentional?
Can't forget it.
It wasn't actually.
No,
it just fell onto that day.
So, just luck.
Yep.
So we've celebrated our first birthday last November, and we celebrated it on the 1st. So we'll do that every year because it was a very special day for us. And it's been a great ride in the first 18 months.
Beautiful. Nathan, you've known each other before. Getting together, the business?
Yeah, look, we've been in the industry about 6 or 7 years. Now we were working in another Harcourts office, the number one office in Adelaide here and Australia for 3 years running, and we were the number one and two agent consistently there. An opportunity for successions was limited where we were, and we were very open with that discussion. And then we had the opportunity to open up our own office. So we started it, and that was probably after sort of 3 or 4 years of working with the other office. And then we've nearly been 18 months, 2 years as business owners and still working in the field.
Fantastic. Can I ask, now it's 18 months, what's the business look like? How many people work there?
There's 26 people probably at the moment, and that's a mixture of 13 or 14 actively selling.
Yeah.
Three or four of them have support through buyer managers.
Yeah.
And then there's administration, finance. We've got a full-time photographer.
Yeah.
That's exclusive to us, and I think that's made a big difference with our branding as well. So about 26 at the moment, and we'll probably move into the 30-odd throughout the year, and a few more agents may come and join us.
Okay, both in sales? You both sell?
Yes.
Both write decent business?
Yep.
Okay. Which of the two manages the team, or do you have a sales manager?
Well, we don't have a sales manager. Nathan specialises a little bit more in the managerial side, the back end of the business.
Yeah.
I do a little bit more on the front end. Both auctioneers, active in the field.
Nathan's probably a bit more operational, a bit more strategic.
Yeah.
But we do like to cross over as well, and not just leave it to one person to be solely looking after that area. We do work very closely, and it is a good mateship as well as a great business partnership.
Beautiful.
We were selling about a home a week each before we went into business ownership. So 50 to 60 properties a year.
Yeah.
And focusing primarily in the middle to upper end market in Adelaide. We're both in our sort of early to mid 30s, so we're managing to get further and further into that upper end.
What price range is that?
Between 1 million and we just listed one for 3.3.
Right.
So it's probably 4 million maximum in our marketplace, but generally speaking, 1 to 1.3. 5-2 million.
Okay. One of the things I want to talk about, I was really interested about getting you on here, and this is, you know, I mean, everyone knows that I work for News Limited, and I it's my business to actually promote newspaper advertising, but it's refreshing when I actually see people that are young, that are growing a business and have adopted print as a brand strategy to grow their business, but also help vendors get more money, because I mean, you don't get vendors money because it suits you. You get vendors money because it suits the vendors. A byproduct is it helps your brand.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about some of the results that you've been monitoring using print in your marketing campaigns.
Yeah, we've probably got two really good stories there, Tom, and I'm glad you did mention it about the vendor, and that's what it always is about for us. It's trying to create different ideas that's going to give the owner an opportunity to get a better price. So property one was in Adelaide, CBD property, a renovated 1900 double-storey terrace that had been a restaurant at some stage and had been an old chemist shop. So obviously we thought it was a very emotional buyer who would look at it, maybe someone who wasn't looking in the Adelaide CBD. The challenge with Adelaide itself is one of the highest searched suburbs in Australia. So if you type in Adelaide on the internet, 5, 10, 15, I don't know how many pages of properties that are listed, a lot of apartments. So there's a lot of noise for Adelaide. So we actually ran a trial. They were doing print advertising in the Saturday Advertiser, as well, obviously, online. So what we did on a Saturday and a Sunday open, we had different time listed in the internet and a different time listed in the Saturday Advertiser. What we found over that weekend, 36 groups came through over the whole weekend. 20 people came to that advertised time that was in the print press media, and leaving 16 that came through the internet. And we definitely found those people that came off the press were looking for a certain lifestyle or a certain property. They weren't looking at a specific price range, and they weren't looking at a specific suburb. And we were in the $900 to $1 million price bracket on that, and we ended up with 5 offers, and it sold at the upper end of that range in 3-week campaign, which was great. And then Alex had one in Blandor recently.
Yeah, and that was a great result for the vendor. The other one was in a southern suburb of Adelaide, about 3 kilometres outside of the CBD.
Yeah.
Record price in the suburb was $910,000. Suburb with old character cottages, sort of 1900s, turn of the century architecture. Yet to sort of really come of age sort of suburb. When we mentioned the suburb Glandor to many people in the eastern suburbs where the property prices are probably worth an extra 20 or 30%, they either didn't know where it was or sort of saw it as maybe a little bit lower than what it actually is.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't, those buyers, I believe, wouldn't have been looking on the internet for this particular property. The end buyer for this one, as it was a exceptionally well renovated property and were looking for that record price, would have come from perhaps searching in a suburb with higher median prices. So how do we reach them on the internet? Very difficult to do so. So we recommended to our vendor to take out 2 big display ads in our local press, utilise our exclusive photographer, who's an architectural photographer, wonderful photographer, one of the best in Australia. So the only way to really demonstrate the attributes of the property was in big display ads.
Yeah.
We did that on the first week of advertising. Typical numbers through a property of similar ilk in Adelaide would probably be, for a first open, 20 to 30 groups.
Yeah.
Would be a good result. We opened it on Easter weekend, twice on the Saturday. Don't normally do 2 opens on the one
raining.
Day.
Raining, I think.
It was raining. Had 40 groups through the Saturday morning, 40 groups through the Saturday afternoon, and then a third open on the Tuesday, so the day after Easter, and had a further 39 groups through then. So 121 parties come through the property. We switched it to auction because we felt that sort of competitive energy in the property. Next weekend, the vendor was a bit nervous about auction and wanted to do it for a few more weekends. And I said, no, we've got engaged, competitive, emotional interest in your home now. If it was my own property or my own mother's property, what I'd be recommending to do would be to shorten the campaign, have one more weekend, announce to the world with another really big ad, we're going to auction the following weekend. Nervously, the vendor chose to do that, and another big display ad. We had a further 100 groups attend that weekend. The auction took place last weekend. Had 7-8 registered bidders, a crowd of 200, and sold, I was the auctioneer, sold it for $937 under the hammer, broke the record by nearly $30,000 in a marketplace where most people would suggest it's not a market for breaking records. So if without print, we wouldn't have achieved that.
The size of the ads, well, a quarter page in the Saturday Advertiser, which six months ago would have been reserved for maybe a property that was $2, $3, or $4 million plus. So that property definitely became the purple cow and it stood out from the crowd.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I'm just listening to you both talking and I'm seeing to myself that you're doing the right thing. You're getting people to compete to get a higher price. You're getting buyers, not just logical internet buyers, but you're getting passive aspirational buyers that may not have been putting in search results on, you know, on a website. You're doing all of that, but I'm also seeing the fact that you've got a self-belief and in it, and you obviously must carry that belief at listing presentations, because a lot of real estate agents and most of the viewers that are watching this, you know, there's, you know, this goes out to 16,000 agents, and I'll make the assumption that 3,000 or 4,000 watch it. Those 3,000 or 4,000 agents that are watching it are saying to us that it's getting hard to actually take the subject on with a vendor because vendors don't want to spend any money. Mm. How do you feel about that? How do you guys do it? How do you get something that other agents aren't getting?
I think that's one of the reasons we started putting out some trials with Times, etc., because we were getting frustrated that at open inspections and doing phone callbacks, when you talk to clients and potential buyers about where they saw the property, they always make reference to they saw the internet, because that's probably the top of mind and maybe where they saw the most detail, but they forget that it was actually potentially the press that attracted them to the property. So by running a true trial, that gave us confidence that what we believed in was correct. And then one of the things we'll utilise when we're talking with clients is factual stories.
Yeah.
And when you're talking to the client about what do they want to achieve with selling, they want the best price. And if we just give them stories, honest stories of, well, this is what's been working in the marketplace, this is what worked a couple of weeks ago in a really tough market, most clients we deal with it are very educated and they like those stories and they connect with it and build some trust with us.
Totally agree, Nathan. I mean, Tom, the way I look at it is, how would I market my own property?
Yeah.
And I'll genuinely give that advice to potential vendors.
Yeah.
So I'll bring out the local press with me, an actual copy of it, and put it on the table. And in the discussions with the potential vendor, I'll say, well, look, I'm here today to provide you with some information on how to maximise the price of your property on settlement day, so the greatest net proceeds. Is that what you would like me to go through with you today, or just the easiest way to get it sold for whatever price? And then typically they say, well, we want to get the best price. So I say, okay, well, look, 60 to 70%, maybe even 80% of our buyers are coming from the internet.
Yeah.
But those buyers are those type of buyers. They become desktop valuers. They're dispassionate about the purchasing process. They really become extremely logical. The best prices are achieved through competition, connected competition with aspirational lifestyle purchases, particularly in Adelaide, the marketplace, a 20-minute city. We find buyers that are looking on the coast who are looking for space, also look in the Adelaide Hills and sometimes can switch their attention very quickly. But they don't know that until they see the right property. And we'll run through the examples that Nathan's mentioned. Then I'll simply say, look, I can't sit here in your lounge room and not recommend that you at least consider media print when it brings in 30 to 40% of our buyers, and quite often the end buyer who pays the most. So at least entertain me with how we would put your property into the print. And they say, yep, okay.
Okay, so summarising that, guys and girls, this is gold. Listening to this information and implementing it is gold. Alex talked about desktop valuers, which I think is a wonderful term and concept. I've never heard it before, but I think it's a very accurate description of what actually happens out there. Nathan talked about the fact that case studies and stories sell, and the reason why I think a story sells is that vendor you're speaking to pictures themselves in the story.
They can relate to it,
you know, and it's expensive, it's a big project, and they become an actor in that story, and you vividly describing the process
absolutely
gets emotions going.
Tom, one of the other points really is that I think people, when they choose to part with their hard-earned money on the most valuable asset, the asset where people turn up to for their Christmas drinks or for parties, they want to be proud of what they've bought. So when they're about to make the decision on making their offer, and they're showing their advisors, whether that's their uncle, you know, Uncle Jimmy or Auntie Joan, you know, I'm looking to buy this. If it's a little tiny display ad in the paper and it doesn't really bring out its true features, and they bring it up on the internet and perhaps it isn't looking that good on the internet, then the offer that will be made will be relevant to how everyone feels about the value of that property. So if they are about to make the decision and there's that big display ad, they have that out, they have the internet open, there's perceived value there as well, so that emotional buy-in. And when we're sitting there with our potential vendor in the lounge room, that's why I have the paper out, and I'll say, well, look, cost aside, we'll get to that in a moment, where do you think the most appropriate place is for your property to be positioned in this newspaper? Just cost aside, where would you like to see it? And then they'll say, okay, well, let's look at the values of these properties, probably this one, and this one. It's typically the female vendor as well that will jump in and say that. And because they connect more with the colours and the pictures and so on, and the feeling of a property perhaps than the male vendor does.
Yeah.
And once she's already selected them, that budget's then 7,000 already, and then he might say, oh, 7,000's a bit much, and then we'll sort of a little bit of argy-bargy and meet somewhere where we feel comfortable and they feel comfortable. So typically it's a property that's $3 million, it should have a $3 million one-page display. it doesn't make sense. If buying was logical, if it was a logical process, they'd all be in alphabetical order with display ads from suburb A through to suburb Z, but it's not logical. It's an emotional purchase.
Our industry's become a marketing industry now, hasn't it, where a lot of the information that the buyers definitely have in our jobs to make that property stand out from the crowd. And we know that our role in selling a property, you know, we have the ability to influence the price by 5, 10, maybe 20%, and the way we need to do that is make that property stand out from the crowd. And that's the perception of it is worth more.
Nathan, that's a fair bit of money in your price bracket, because we're saying 5, 10%. We're talking here $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 is on the table there. Is that special hidden part of value that you get by marketing well, creating high perceived value, which, by the way, one of the publications we own is Vogue. When a company like Rolex puts an ad in Vogue, perceived value is what they're doing. Yep. They're not putting in a small postage size ad.
Not just putting it on the internet and just letting it sit there.
Correct. So, as I'm talking to you, you're coming across as marketers. You guys are marketers. You guys are like working in an organisation that markets, no different to being product managers or brand managers working in a corporation, except the commodity is a house.
Correct.
The photographer, I'm interested. You've actually got a photographer that works in your business.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, and you're right, Tom. I mean, the property can only be a new release once. Yeah. That's a dialogue that we use. Look, I mean, when Apple launched their iPad 6, you know, they won't launch it soft. They'll launch it properly.
And today's consumers... mixture of online, billboards, people holding it, using it. There'll be three or four contact points that people have before they'll go and purchase.
Today's consumer gets bored quickly. In 4 weeks, it's been on the market, they're bored of it. Something's wrong with it by then. So... can only be a new release once. You can't undo that launch. But yes, with the photographer, we thought it was crucially important to have the industry's best photographer. It's part of our brand.
Yeah.
He's actually an architectural photography student, qualified, won many awards in Japan, Japanese fellow. He moved to Australia 3 years ago. He'll spend upwards of 12, 13 hours at one property from 11 in the morning, 10 in the morning until 10 or 11 at night sometimes, and spent the whole day there. And the reason that we invested in him so heavily is because of display ads. The photo needs to be world class. It needs to be jumping out like it's a Vogue magazine picture. And in turn with that, we have a home stylist that is a complimentary service. It's just critical to make the product stand out. As Nathan rightly said, there's so much noise in the advertising space, particularly online. It needs to jump out. We need to be on the first page in realestate.com domain. We need to be up the front of our local press. For those of the viewers that don't know the Adelaide market, there's one daily newspaper in South Australia, the Advertiser, and basically the Saturday paper is the Bible of real estate. It's the lift out. It's 100 pages long. It's not in order of geographic suburbs. It's in order of the agency with the greatest amount of listings.
Yeah.
So we're part of the Harcourts group. So we're Owens Cassidy, but we sell our sub $1 million properties through the Harcourts brand, and our $1 million plus properties through the Luxury Property Selection brand, which is at the front of the Advertiser. So we get that first impression on the buyers every Saturday morning, because all of our properties appear on the first pages. So to have the best photographer that we feel is in Australia is critical in making sure that our brand and the vendor's brand, which is their product, their house, is being pushed to the market in its best possible light.
The premium price in a premium product. So everything we touch, the advertising, the brochure, the signboards, the photography, the way the open feels, the way it sounds, everything must reflect premium and emotion. If we can do that, then we'll connect with more emotional people and we'll get some competition.
Let me ask Nathan, do you think as a byproduct of this strategy that you're helping vendors break records, which you're doing in their suburbs, do you think that you're getting attracting other vendors that want to look like your ads, want to have your photos representing their home, that style of, do you get call outs?
Definitely, and that's when in some ways a listing presentation becomes a little easier, because the clients that you're attracting are the clients who are believing in what you're putting together. That's the marketing and the photography. So a lot of them are calling up, having a chat with us and saying, well, I want photos like that and I want advertising like that. How do we put it together? So we're finding we're already through that barrier of maybe I don't like the press advertising, I don't want to do any advertising at all. So you're right, we are attracting clients who believe and see the value in what we're doing. But Adelaide is quite small and word of mouth is very strong. So it is quickly getting around, well, that these guys run a great business, they run a great sales campaign, but they actually get premium prices. So what are they doing? Well, their photography is fantastic and they've got nice size press advertising that's working. We'd like that for our property.
Yeah, so to me, just listening to that is you've got vendors that are sitting at a dining room table and have already said to themselves, it's going to cost me money. That's why you're there anyway. So I don't think you've got to come up with lots of tricky lines to get people.
Just a conversation.
Yeah.
And they don't see it as a cost. They just see it as an investment for their end product, which is, you know, the money in the bank for them. It's probably no different than the great car analogy. I've got my car over here worth $60,000 and I'll invest $2,000 to protect that asset from accident. And I think the same with their property. I've got a $2 million property and asset and I'll put $5,000 or $10,000 to protect it from selling less than it's worth.
Yeah. Okay, that's very, very well said. We're talking about ensuring not to undersell the biggest asset that you own. And I think sometimes a good salesperson needs to be able to create that picture and help vendors break up those questions and realize how ridiculous it is to be concerned over a few thousand dollars when what's at stake is millions in the sale of the property, tax-free as well if it's a family home. I want to move on and talk about just your plan in the future is to keep growing this business. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yep.
You're very young, 18 months going in. You want to build. It really is an attraction business for a business that's been going since November 2011.
Yep.
To now, it has grabbed the attention. What do you want to do? Put more salespeople on, or?
Well, no. Good question, Tom. I mean, we've been very conscious of rewarding existing consultants and team, as we call them, that joined us from the beginning. It was a marketplace in late 2011 that was many described as being the most challenging in three decades in real estate in South Australia, and we heard every reason under the sun by all goodwill advisors on why we shouldn't start our business. So luckily, we're probably young enough and stupid enough to have said, well, that's a challenge. So, like, just to stick it up them all.
Yeah.
So that was enough inspiration. So we really feel a genuine loyalty to our existing people that came with us to ensure that our growth is steady and consistent and in line with our company values and our vision, which is, you know, crucially important to make sure that everything is done with integrity for the right reasons to make our vendors have the best possible service. If slowing the growth means that that's required in order to do that, then we'll slow the growth. If turning up the growth, and we can continue with our systems and procedures, then we'll do that too. I think we've probably reached the point now where our fixed overheads are such that any extra consultants that we bring on is probably more profitable for us. So naturally, from a business perspective, we'd like to see some more consultants come on board, but not at the expense of retention and our current culture. We probably have room for another five or six consultants under our existing roof.
Yeah.
We're there for another 2.5 years, and then at that point, the building's earmarked to be knocked down for luxury apartments.
Right.
We're situated in the parklands in Adelaide, just on the CBD fringe in the eastern suburbs, so we front onto parklands amongst other residential housing. We're a commercial building in the middle of high-end residential, with about a 200-metre walk to a nice boulevard with lots of cafes. So potentially at that point we might look to doing something a little bit different. Part of our sales team sell down at the Adelaide coastline, where there's high-end Esplanade properties, and then another part of our business sells in the CBD and the eastern suburbs. So at that point, we might have two offices, but we've got another 2.5 years where we are, and we just want to continue on the path that we're on at the time being. Property management, Nathan, we're also...
Yeah, so it's a bit of consolidation, I suppose, from the sales point of view, and then we're quite close to finalising having property management, I suppose, finalised, and that'll happen throughout the year and definitely by the end of the year, which will then bring another maybe 10 or 15 to the group, probably not on the same in the same building space. It'll bring our consolidation and just giving the support back to those people that have supported us, but obviously there's room for good consultants if we think it's going to help our brand and get our vendors better prices out there in the marketplace.
I'm going to finish off, guys, now because most of the audience is real estate salespeople. You're selling now. You've been successful agents selling one property a week at the price range you talked about, $1 million, writing good numbers. What are, and I'll ask each of you, top three characteristics of a good salesperson? Start with you, Nathan.
Work ethic. We haven't found a magic bullet or a magic dust that's got us to where we are. Even when we're sales consultants and not in the business ownership, I think we were first in, we were last to leave, and I think our wives can still testify that. Relationships, just having an ability to connect with people would probably be my number two. And third one, do something different. You can then take a risk and stand out of a crowd that, you know, how many, there's 50 or 60,000 consultants in Australia, that you need to stand out from the crowd. And I think vendors at the moment are looking for someone who can just do something a little bit different than just the standard.
Yeah, and on that point, let me tell you, talking about different, to me, risky is in fact the new safe, and in fact, playing it safe is risky.
Yeah, you know? Great.
To you, Alex, top three things of good people that you notice?
Integrity.
Yeah.
Prospecting and listening.
Integrity, prospecting and listening. Beautiful. We've had 35 minutes with two guys that I think, as the next year unfolds, Australia's going to know more about. Intelligent, smart, sharp, doing things different, and actually deciding to change the game, to not actually just be another competitor doing the same thing. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Tom. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.